This is a podcast from Minute Media.
You straight up cuckooed that dude, bro. Oh my God.
You've got all your Charger gear on because
you're feeling fresh as hell.
Well, you guys better enjoy it.
Loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin Herbert.
On the move, and throws, and touchdown.
Do this together.
Players, coaches, staff, fans, together we can create something truly special.
Stay tuned for some good content.
Well, top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Charger Chat. I'm your co-host, Bulldog, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin' Duggin.
How the hell are you?
Doing okay, buddy. We're still here in St. Louis. It's still hot as fuck. We're sweating our balls off over
human.
Here, but we're having fun.
A little humid.
We're having a little fun over here. So we still don't have Coach back. He's still taking care of the baby.
Diapers.
Got some diapers, and he's got two other ones to take care of, so I'm sure it's a mess.
He's taking his off-season time. He needs
right.
it. Take care of that fam.
Right. So we will get Coach back as quickly as we can. But in the meantime, he's got to take care of wife and newborn baby. All right, gang. Well, we've got a short episode here for you this week. Just a couple things to talk about. And we've got a Craig experience lined up for you. So we'll definitely get to that ASAP.
Too sweet.
But let's take a look here in the news. This isn't the most current piece of news, but this is pretty damn cool, so we had to talk about it. The second annual Justin Herbert Golf Invitational is taking place at Shadow Hills Country Club in Oregon. Their goal is to provide children in the community the same opportunity Justin had as his career started at Kids Sports. The funding allowed Kids Sports to offer free camps throughout the community so children who can't afford to travel don't have to. The camps come to them. It's an opportunity Justin is grateful to help provide, as some of his best memories growing up were as a kid sport athlete. Justin Herbert said, "I grew up playing kid sports. I didn't quite have this facility, but to be able to play, whether it was basketball, baseball, football, or soccer, that's what I grew up with."
So cool he does this, man. He's like off to a great start with kind of, you know, giving back to the community. It got him rolling, and it's just great to see him do that. You know, he's a hometown kid.
Absolutely. So, I mean, he's now got a golf invitational named after him, the Justin Herbert Golf Invitational, to raise money for an awesome thing.
That would be so fun. I need to practice my swing. I need to go to the driving range. I need to go putt, because one day I'd like to go play in this.
Sure. I
don't know how you get in there. It's probably a hot ticket item.
Probably.
I'd have to sneak on the course to get on there.
It's an invitational, so you have to be invited.
So I got to figure out how to get invited.
You can't just show up and be like,
hey guys, I'm here.
I brought my own club, see? it is cool. And it is a reminder also for Justin is the type of athlete that played every sport.
Yeah.
Played baseball, played basketball, and we still see him playing basketball from time to time with like Keenan Allen and stuff like that. So he can still shoot some hoops and dunk on some kids if he has to.
It was funny about the basketball thing. So I remember his podcast interview with Drew Tranquil. He's like, "I got to stop playing basketball because it's like a risk of getting hurt."
Oh, absolutely.
So he's just like, I can't do it anymore.
No.
So
no,
it's a bummer, but we do like to see him dunk on kids.
But I mean, it's playing those sports that I think has helped make him as well-rounded of an athlete as he is.
100%.
I mean, that's why he's able to run like he can run. And, you know, taking some of those elements from basketball and baseball and utilizing that to become a quarterback is just something that you don't always see with some of these players. And so he's now giving that opportunity that got him where he is to all the other kids.
I love it.
In Oregon. So it's a really cool deal. Definitely check it out. The Justin Herbert Golf Invitational. See if you got invited. I know I didn't. Check your mailbox. Maybe Justin got to you. I don't know. And then Daniel Popper tweeted this out recently. Trey Pipkins said it, getting to pick Armstead's brain while working out with him this offseason was super successful. So yeah, those that don't know, it was tweeted out by Brandon Thorne. Taron Armstead, with a big crowd around, diligently sharing wisdom and knowledge about stance and pass sets with a younger player. He's done this with countless other guys over the years, and I'm always so impressed every time I'm around him. So he was shouting out more Taron Armstead. But Daniel Popper was pointing out that, hey, Trey Pipkins is one of those guys. So really just kind of showing this is one more thing that Trey Pipkins is doing to try to be that right tackle for this upcoming season.
I want him to be, but I'm also a little worried because the hype is just lifting him right now with all this. I want to hype. Maybe that's what he needs. He needs a little love, a little hype, but like fans are like, okay, he's our right tackle now. I'm like, I'm not sure yet.
Obviously. Yeah. We have to see it. Then we'll believe it.
Yeah.
But we're not, I made mention of this before. We're not hearing about this, about Storm Norton. Now, could Storm Norton be doing something similar to this and just isn't making, you know, the spotlight for it? Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, because that is a narrative right now. Trey Pipkins was not good in that right tackle position. And so now we're forced now into the situation where it's like, okay, well, it's either Trey Pipkins or Storm Norton. What's Trey Pipkins doing? Well, he's working out with Manny Weather. He's talking to Taron Armstead. He is doing all of these different things to basically try to be that guy. So if anything, I am rooting for this guy.
100%. I am too.
Seems to be putting in the work. You know, prior to this, we didn't necessarily see that. In fact, I think there were even a couple of times that it was almost like, yeah, everybody's here but Trey Pipkins or something like that. You know, I don't want to put the wrong narrative out there, but that's, we didn't hear this. And now we are. And are we hearing it because it's one of our only options? Or are we hearing it because like, hey, the guy is actually putting in the work more so than we've ever seen before. Let's give the guy a shot.
But that also frustrates me that he's just now doing this.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? It's almost like for me, I hope he does well, but it's a little too late.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I've seen so much bad football from him. I want him to be awesome.
Absolutely.
But his one off-season training with this group of guys, is it really going to make a difference when he's playing? That's what I'm curious about. I'm not ready to crown him our right tackle until we see him. You know, he's going to have to go up against Joey Bosa and or Khalil Mack every day.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can be serviceable against those guys at practice, and, you know, I think he could be great. You know, he could be really good on Sundays.
Absolutely.
Or Mondays or Thursdays.
I mean, because that's the thing is like, yeah, we were all kind of surprised that he got picked in the third round of the draft when we picked him. But he does have like the measurables. Like he is a big dude. Like he is, I mean, when I see pictures of him, it's like, wait a minute, that's Trey Pipkins? Like, holy shit, he looks way bigger than I thought he would.
Big, yeah.
So, I mean, he has the measurables. It seems to really be more about technique than anything else. So, at the very least, we know he's putting in the work. Whether it's just for show or whether he's actually wanting to be the best at his position and now is the time, like, maybe that's part of the thing is, like, he knows that this is a year for him to, like, if I'm going to have any career in the NFL,
this is it. Make or break.
I have to start doing this now. I can't just be coasting for 2 years and now getting into it. And I'm not saying that he's coasting. Obviously, these guys are always putting in work that we're just not seeing. But the spotlight is definitely shining on Trey Pipkins right now to be like, hey.
It is, but isn't it kind of weird? Just a little bit. I just want to, I'm not usually the guy that like suppresses excitement. And, you know, it's not me. But the guy that got benched last year, right? And didn't play a lot of games, came out, had a couple good performances,
right?
Is now like people are getting really pumped on him. Like, I just don't know.
I don't know.
I just don't, like, he hasn't shown me enough to see that. I've seen consistent Storm Norton all last season.
Absolutely.
I know what you get with him. The ups and downs of Trey Pipkins is so up and down.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's just, I want it to work.
I
want it to work, but I can't get on board yet.
Right. We're still in that point of the offseason where we don't have to necessarily get on board, but it is just something to take note that like what it is that he's doing, because you're absolutely right. Like we saw what Storm Norton did. Wasn't perfect, but we at least knew what he could produce.
Yeah.
And we knew, and like you said, Trey Pipkins, the variation between doing great and doing poor is so polarizing that it's like, it's not even worth risking it.
It's not consistency. It's what, you know, what everyone says we need to have is consistency. He's not a consistent player.
Right.
And just between the two, Storm Norton is more of consistent.
Right.
And he has had bad games and he has blown stuff, but overall consistency was there. And look what Justin did last year.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm on the fence. I'm not ready to say Storm, you're not the guy.
Right.
But I think that's still his position.
Mm-hmm.
That he was a starter last year.
Well, I mean, it is, we've seen a change in coaching staff. We've seen somebody who really thought that, you know, the impression was that he thought that, you know, guys have a job to do and they need to go do their job. And he thought Justin Herbert, he's like, he's a backup for a reason. You know, that was that type of coach. And now we've got a coach that is more about relationships. And so whether or not the coaching staff actually kind of sat down with Trey and said, hey, what can we do to make you better?
Pull your head out of your ass.
Right. You've got a coach that says, pull your head out of your ass. And you got another coach that says, hey, let's sit down. Let's chat. Let's figure out what we can do to make you better.
Sure.
So I'm not saying that that's exactly what's happening, but I'm building a narrative because we got nothing else to talk about.
It's that time of the year.
So I'm telling a story. So we'll see what happens. It is obviously the position that everybody's going to be watching to see who ends up coming out on top. But it's cool to see him putting in the time, putting in the work, and hopefully it'll pay off. We'll find out. But if you want your wardrobe to pay off, you can go on over to chargerchat.com. Check out all the cool stuff we've got over there. T-shirts, hoodies, stickers. You can chat it up with other members, the Charger Chatteteers, if you will, in the members section, and ask questions and ask Bold Fam. So go check it out, chargerchat.com. All right, gang. Well, as promised, we've got a Greg experience lined up for you. So here we go. The one, the only... The Greg Experience.
Oh, yeah.
Come on in, man. Kick your feet up.
Greg Experience. Hello there.
Make yourself at home. Got some stuff to talk about, right? Moving on.
A week closer to the end of the offseason. And another CKC for you guys. So without further ado, let's jump into it. CC Gang. The biggest of salutes into the rest of the Bolt fam. What is going on? You know who it is. You got Craig in Texas. And welcome to another edition of the Craig Experience. This week's championship key cog goes by a few different names. Some call him ASJ, others Zant. But me, I like to refer to him as Scrappy Doo, because there's plenty of fight in this dog. Doesn't matter that Asante Samuel Jr. is 5'10". He plays with the heart of someone twice his size. And he shows up every week unrelenting, ready to put it all on the line. What more could you ask for from a player in your secondary? So let's talk a little bit about what he brings to the table moving forward, going into this year and beyond. Okay, so if you guys were following me around draft season last year, 21, you know that I was a huge Asante Samuel Jr. supporter. I was borderline obsessive about it. He was actually my CB2 behind JC Horn, and I had this thing where I wish they could get together and do the fusion dance and create the perfect outside corner. Like if you gave me JC's height, strength, and length, coupled that with ASJ's change of direction, foot speed, and instincts, you'd essentially have a creative player from Madden. But alas, you can't get everything you want. We were shocked to see him fall to the Chargers in the second round, though, especially after that gift we got Rashawn Slater in the first. So it was a hell of a draft season, and the football guys were definitely smiling down on us that year. But his rookie season was kind of a mixed bag. Started off with a bang, got rookie of the month in September, had those two back-to-back weeks of Pepsi Rookie of the Week, and yo, Chargers fans, pat yourselves on the back again, because we made that happen by flooding those votes. But he put the performance up on the field to back it up. As the season went on, he missed a handful of games because of concussions, so he wasn't as aggressive as he was those first few weeks, but you can pretty much attribute it to the head injuries. But I think he'll be past that moving into this year, so you'll see the player you saw in the first few weeks, and that's something to be excited about. As far as what he brings to the table, and really some of the things that I love most about him, I mean, let's start with what I alluded to already, the overall toughness. I mean, despite his size, or lack thereof, he doesn't care how much weight or height he gives up to an opposing wide receiver. It's going to be a long day for that guy. Nothing's going to come easy. And he's not afraid to get dirty as a tackler. Now, he can be a bit reckless, but the aggressiveness is something that you want to see him keep. The technique there can be fixed, and I'm sure that it will, so I'm not super worried about that at all. Now, one of the other things that really stands out about him is his technique and coverage against larger wide receivers. He's always looking to attack the ball at its highest point. But in the event that he does give up a catch, well, it starts off as a catch. And this is the beauty of this. he does this thing where as the receiver is coming down to secure the ball and the catch, he'll swipe or punch at it right before he can get it tucked away. And there you have a PBU. He's almost got this down like to a science. The timing of it is amazing. Watch him next year. He does it pretty often, actually. And it comes in handy against some of those bigger wide receivers who he just may not be able to jump with just based off of height. As a closer, he's freakishly quick. Like, if you're playing like off-man coverage, zone, or anything, let's say that there's a quick bubble screen thrown out to a wide receiver, that catch probably going to end up with his face mask knocked into his nose or his feet undercut. It literally happens like that in a blink of an eye. His reaction time is crazy. You guys have seen that already. He's got no wasted motion at all. He can pattern match in man-to-man off of the line of scrimmage, mirroring routes. It's fantastic. Just the hip flexibility and fluidity, again, like I mentioned before, the change of direction is insane. Now, finally, you look at what the prospects are of him playing across from a JC Jackson. Imagine that. A wide receiving core comes out and can have their number one locked up by a top five wide receiver. And then their number two guy is going to have to deal with the dude who was probably going to be CB1 had the Chargers not signed JC Jackson. I mean, getting to the Michael Davis thing, he was probably going to be the CB2 had none of that gone down, but now he's relegated to possibly even CB4. But we've had that conversation before. Yo, that's going to be a nasty duo, the cornerback spot. Because of all the mix and matching you can do, you got Bryce Callahan in there, so he and Zion may play off of each other in certain situations and scenarios. But either way, it's going to be a tough task for wide receiving cores, because I mean, who are you going to throw the ball at? Who's the weak link? And if the worst that you have in your secondary is Michael Davis as your fourth cornerback, then good luck to y'all. So that's going to do it for this week's CKC, Mr. Scrappy Doo, a.k.a. Asante Samuel Jr. I think the kids is going to have a fantastic year, too. Lined up across from an all-pro in JC Jackson, QBs aren't going to want to test that side of the field, and good luck throwing it at the kid on the opposite side. Probably not going to yield the results they think it will. But hey, we get to reap the benefits of watching it every week, so we should all be looking forward to it. As a matter of fact, folks, hop in the comments. Tell me what kind of numbers you think Zion's going to put up this year. Curious to see what you feel about it. But until the next time, y'all all know who it is. You know the gang. You know the name. Mr. Ball Gang or Do Not Bang. Also known as TOP_FLYT3 on Twitter. You can catch me on YouTube. The Flight Deck, Charge It to the Game. So until the next one, you guys be good. Take it easy out there. Stay bolted up. And, okay. Love you. Bye.
Well, there you go, folks. Craig, thank you as always for coming in with an awesome Craig experience. And the media does not rest. You continue to bring all the fancy gifts and it's a fun time. So thank you for shining a light on yet again, something that we never really think to take a look at and deep dive into.
More players, man. Let's see what his buildup is, where he's going
to
go.
I trust Craig's opinion on quite a few things. So he takes the time to really look at it. So hopefully you all enjoyed that. But I think that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat. Any final thoughts there, Kev?
I'll see you later. I'm heading out of the States for a bit and I'll be back. I'll be back later.
Yeah, Kevin is going overseas again, so
I'm going to still do this. I'm just going to be doing it from a hotel room with shoddy internet. Yeah, so get Kevin, ready.
Kevin might be coming in on cell phone internet from the 90s.
Yeah.
But we're going to still do this. We're still going to have a podcast and hopefully we can get Coach back. That would be awesome.
And get some Coach.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, folks. Don't forget to bolt up, because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Gay love you, bye.
Gay love you, bye.